The following presentation was recorded at the 2012 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Fear. I trust that you will pray that God's will might be done and that you might profit from this. As I was thinking about this responsibility, my mind went back to a number of years ago. Some of you probably remember there were some Americans who were held hostage, I believe it was in Iran. And our government made a decision that they were going to send the army in there and rescue these hostages. And those of you remember, it failed. There was a helicopter crash. Men were killed. And the reason I brought that out was I remember reading in the paper, the President of the United States says, I take full responsibility for what happened. Now think about that a little bit. What was he saying? I take full responsibility for what was happening. There was a president. Our president is probably one of the most secure people in the United States. So, he wasn't out there in the battlefront. He wasn't out there. But he made the call. Commander-in-chief, he made that call. And he was not passing the buck on to somebody else. He was saying, I take full responsibility for what happened. Today, as board chairman, and I sense here a group of men who have sensed a burden. You're probably called to be chairman of the board. You have a burden, that of the school, and are seeking ways to fulfill it. So I trust you'll pray that through this workshop, we might be encouraged in ways to fulfill that burden, carry that burden out. As I was thinking about this, my mind went to Nehemiah. As I already mentioned this morning, our brother mentioned about Nehemiah being a leader and the burden that he had. And I'm not going to read all of Nehemiah, just going to give some overview of what happened there. Nehemiah was in Babylon. He was a king's cupbearer. And a man came to Babylon from Jerusalem. And Nehemiah inquired about the state of Jerusalem at that time. You'll probably know the story. And this man responded, the walls are broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. Some of the captivities are going back for some time now. The temple had been rebuilt, but yet these walls are broken down. And this idea of taking responsibility. Nehemiah was a Jew, and he sensed a burden for the city of Jerusalem. And we realize this is an Old Testament time. These broken down walls and these gates burned with fire was a reproach to God's name. The city of God, Jerusalem was where God's name was presented to the people. And so he sensed this burden. Now Nehemiah was in a secure position in Babylon. He was the king's cupbearer, many miles from Jerusalem. Yet he sensed this burden. And he could have easily said, well, that's there. Many miles away. Why does that concern me? Why do I have to be concerned, take responsibility for something there? Nehemiah took a personal responsibility because he had a vision. And I spoke this morning time and again about a vision for our schools. If we don't have a vision, if we don't know where we want our schools to go, if we don't know what we want from them, we will take a laid-back, what my brother Jonas is saying, the snooze abuse. We'll just push the snooze button, and that's not my responsibility. But Nehemiah took personal responsibility. And the first thing he did was plead to God. And the verse I'd like to read in chapter 1 is part of Nehemiah's prayer, seeking his responsibility and seeking help. Chapter 1, verse 11. Well, first of all, he was, as was mentioned, he confessed the sins of his people. He took responsibility for the sins of the people that had brought them into captivity. Because of the sins of the people, the walls were broken down many years before. And so he confessed those sins. And then he sought God to prosper some plans that he might rebuild the wall. In verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." He was praying to God for mercy. Grant him mercy in the sight of the king, they might prosper his plans. It was somewhat of an insurmountable task that this king would send him back to build this wall. He was the king's cupbearer. And we know in chapter 2 then how God worked this out. Nehemiah was before the king, and the king sensed that Nehemiah was sad. This burden had filled his heart to the point where he was sad, and it showed on his countenance that he was sad. And so the king inquired, "Why are you sad?" And Nehemiah was afraid, because these Babylonian kings, if you didn't please them, you could be subject to death. But the God prospered Nehemiah's prayer. Nehemiah prayed to God, "Grant mercy in the sight of this man, the king," and God prospered that. Do we, as board chairman, we're not building a wall necessarily, not a literal wall. We don't have a wall around this church, but we are building walls around our children. Walls that will prepare them for life. Prepare them for what they're going to face after they get out of school. We are building walls. And there are many hurdles that we face from time to time. And pray that God would grant us mercy that these walls might be built in a proper way. And we know the story, how God granted Nehemiah mercy in the sight of the king. The king gave him all the finances he needed to build a wall. He sent men with him. He went back to Jerusalem to build a wall. And then as I was thinking of our brother over there at the lunchroom, I was speaking about starting a school in the middle of the summer. How many chairmen here want to take on that task? Decide to build a school or start a school in July? I think there were many prayers for the mercy of God in that time. We need the mercy of God to face the burdens. Okay, the responsibility. Thinking about that, you know, the president said he takes full responsibility. What does it mean for you as board chairman to take full responsibility? I'd like a little input. What does it mean? What do you as chairman of the board, I assume most of you are chairman, maybe not all of you, but what does it mean to take full responsibility? Brother Jonas talked about training the wheel. Are you training your will to see a problem and act upon it? Just for example, in your home, let's say one of your children leave a toilet. How many times do you walk by that object laying along the sidewalk? I'm kind of a poor one at that. My wife's very good. She sees something, she'll pick it up, she'll take responsibility for it. And do we as chairman, and Nehemiah, like I said about Nehemiah, he was at Babylon, and Jerusalem was miles away. He could very easily just walk around it and take full responsibility. Are we willing to take the responsibility? And then when we make decisions, are we going to be responsible to carry out the decisions that we make? Carry out the. And I guess I should make this clear. You, as a chairman of the board, are leading out on a board, and their decisions are what you are to carry out. Are you responsible to carry that out? Are you ready to take the blame for a bad decision? What are other ways that you take up your responsibility? Anybody have any input on that? Okay, let's think a little bit. What are you taking responsibility for? Okay, you're chairman of a school. And this may sound like an elementary question, but what's the school? What's it represent? And more particularly, the Christian school. I mean, we have the public school out there. What is the school? Okay, not just reading, writing, arithmetic. That's very interesting. Our public schools have declared that they're going to teach truth without God. Is that possible? Is it possible to teach truth without mentioning God? I declare God is the very author of truth, and you will never come, the Bible says, about ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's where you will be. There's many facts out there that a public school can teach. They can teach them to function in a certain place, but they will never come to the knowledge of truth. We have this great privilege in the Christian school to teach truth to its fullest extent. And that only happens when you include God in your teaching. The Christian school is a place where children are taught collectively. Now, I don't think, we know the Bible places responsibility for teaching, the teaching of children is placed on the parents. And sometimes we get the feeling that the school is overriding that responsibility. And I don't think we need to be apologetic about that. I think we need to see ourselves as servants to the parents. How do you become servants to the parents? What ways are you servants to the parents?
Their choice.
Okay, their choice. They have evaluated your school and decided that that is a place where they want their children to be. Does that mean that children do not, or the parents do not have any responsibility then, once they send them to school? I think if anybody's been involved in the school at any time at all, you can see a major difference in parents who take active responsibility for training their children to those who send them to school and expect the school to train them. What happens when children are taught collectively? Thinking in a broader sense, they can learn better. But what is the tendency to happen when you bring children together? What's the tendency to happen? Bring parents together. So I'm trying to get to a point and probably not getting across to you, but we have a whole group of parents here or say we're going to work together for the cause of teaching our children. Yet at the same time, you have every parent and every board member here this morning has a little different idea of how the school ought to be run. So when you have a collective teaching program, somebody has to say how it's going to be carried out. And there was one patron already said, well, this is our school. We're doing as much as we're going to do it our way. You don't need to be intimidated out of that. It's their school. But you as a board have to make policy and adopt principles that make this collective education work with all the differing ideas within the community. And as we do that, that needs to happen in the church too. I'm sure all church leaders know that. That has to happen in the church as well. As we submit together and work together to bring this whole thing into harmony, then our children learn to work together and submit together and bring it to harmony. So as we sense that burden, that is the burden, should be the burden of the school board to make us all work together. And there's many tough decisions. tough situations that you cannot always please all the parents. You can't always please everybody. I'm sure you all know that. I'm sure you've run into that. Okay, now I'm going to look into a few areas of specific chairman responsibilities. Some of them are rather simple. Some of them may not be so simple. First of all, the chairman presides over board meetings. Sometimes that's simple and sometimes it's not so simple, depending on your situations. Works out an agenda. The chairman needs to sit down and before the meeting and decide what are we going to talk about at this meeting, what all needs to be discussed. And if you don't get it written down, if you're like me, when it comes to the end of the meeting, you don't do it. It just doesn't happen. So you need to work out an agenda. When Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem, the first thing he did before he gathered his help around was went out around the city by himself, surveyed the situation to see what needed to be done. You need to survey the situation. You need to evaluate all the aspects, what needs to be done this month. At our school, we have a meeting every month, the last Tuesday of every month. Every board member knows that. It's very difficult to change it sometimes because board members are busy. Sometimes issues come up. You, as a board chairman, need to call for another meeting. You have to decide it. And that sometimes, you know, I don't know how you all go about it. Sometimes you have to, I get the call on the phone trying to get input. And that gets a little difficult sometimes. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you get everybody sitting together at a board meeting, then you can have a better discussion. So he has to decide when to call a meeting. He needs to moderate the meeting. And we talked about this, I believe it was talked about here in the morning session about the board. The chairman tries to get input from all members. How do you do that? Does anybody have any suggestions? How do you get input from all your members? You want to get the feeling of these members. You want to know what they're thinking.
I think patience, waiting for an answer, I think can be beneficial.
Okay. Waiting for it. I had one brother dinner said he. One issue here to go the whole way around. Each board member specifically asked them, what do you think? And I've had to do that sometimes. You have to go around. You have some board members, and some of them are pretty quiet. Some of them are pretty quiet. They won't speak up. And then others maybe are speaking all the time. And you have to discern that as a board chairman. And I think that could be a setback for the quieter ones if someone is speaking all the time. You have to kind of just stop and try to get it out. But some of these board members who are quiet, when they do speak, you better listen because they have something worthwhile to say. It happens. I've seen it happen. A board member, you know, you don't really think he has much of an opinion on the matter. But when he speaks, you better be listening because it's going to be worthwhile. Keep the board focused on what the issue is at hand. That can be a tough one sometimes. We start going down rabbit trails. You bring up a certain issue, and somebody says, well, how about this? And then, okay, well, we start talking about that discussion. And you start going down a trail which leads you far away from the very first topic. Keep the board focused. And then you have to keep discussing the issue. And sometimes it gets difficult because you have board members of differing opinions. And I tell board members, you know, you need to voice your opinions here. Even if it's different, even if you're bucking the tide, you feel like you're bucking the tide, voice your opinion. You may have some input that we need. So you got to try to keep them focused, bring it out. And then try to bring the board to a consensus or a vote on the issue. And sometimes that can be hard. And we had some discussion here at the session this morning about how do you come to a consensus? Did anybody think any more about that? How do you come to a consensus? Do you come or bring it to a vote? How long do you keep on going till you just vote? And, you know, I mean, one brother here this morning was saying that they try to get everybody to agree. What if you don't get there? How long do you go? I had a meet. Go ahead.
There could be a place for dropping the issue for a month or two, depending what it is.
I had an issue once, a number of years ago, and we were going through some pretty negative things at the time. And we were going around and around on an issue. And it was a serious issue. It was serious. For these brethren to, I mean, it had implications both ways. And it got later and later. And we made a decision after 11 o'clock. And if I had that to do over again, I'd have shut the meeting down and we'd have had another. Because the brethren were tired, they were stressed, and it brought precautions that weren't good. So you might have to come to a place. If you can't come to a decision, you may have to shut the meeting down and come back again. Pray about it, because it's serious.
Well, I was elected board chairman. I was given advice that most meetings ought to be over by 10 o'clock. And unless it's a very serious issue, even if you can't reach a consensus, maybe you need
to drop. It would be better. That's been my experience. It would be better to drop it, go home, come back again. Pray about it. Pray that God might grant you mercy in this issue. Because some of these issues are serious. They're very serious. They affect people. They affect children. They affect the outcome of your school. And then that same issue, it came up again because people were not satisfied with the decision. When do you, and I guess I went through some negative experiences. Maybe some of my comments are going to be a bit negative. But when do you bring a decision back to a vote that you've already made? Did you ever do that? You know, and looking back, I probably, if I had that to do over again, I probably wouldn't have brought it back to a vote. I got a lot of questions. I guess I'd like some input. You know, when do you, as a chairman, override your board? Do you ever? Maybe that's a tough question. I had some experiences. I guess I can give you a lot of advice what not to do. I don't know if I can tell you what to do.
I don't think we as chairmen of the board, if we are, most of us are chairmen, I think we should at any time be willing to admit that we possibly made a decision that wasn't the best decision. And if the board agrees that it may have not been a good decision, to take another look at it and see what is best.
Yeah.
And there are times that we haven't made a decision in a meeting just simply because I felt, as a chairman, I felt we needed some more time to think about it. And I will even advise fellow board members to ask some questions, talk to some other people that you feel have a little wisdom that would be. I mean, as our board, we've got some fairly young men on our board, and it doesn't hurt to go ask some of the elderly men, you know, how do you feel about a situation like this? What would be some good advice?
Yeah. Ask advice, seek counsel, and you know, sometimes it takes time, it takes a lot of commitment. Take up the responsibility. Okay. Increase the multitude. You're willing to take counsel, but then the decision still comes down to the board. You're broadening out, and the board has to make a decision. Okay, now you have the first responsibility was presiding over board meetings, trying to bring into consensus and to carry that out, vote on issues. The second point I have here is to communicate that decision, the decisions of the board to the faculty. Communication. It doesn't do a whole lot of good, and I've done this before. We made decisions at the board, and I have my agenda sheet there. I generally take that sheet and I go to the administrator and say this and this and this is what we decided. Is there any further questions? And it doesn't work very good when they come up with a question. They say, well, we already made a decision that long time ago. You didn't communicate it. They have to know. They have to know what you decided to carry it out. You need to make that decision your own as chairman. You need to carry it out. Sometimes that's not easy. And make sure all teachers informed or all teachers involved in the situation are informed. Make sure they know what they're supposed to do, know what's expected of them. And the third one I have is lend an ear to teachers, patrons, and anyone who may have an issue with the school. You are going to be the sounding board for problems. You're going to have patrons come to you with issues. You're going to have other teachers come to you with an issue. Do you have a plan how you're going to implement these? Do you have steps to take? If someone comes to you with a complaint, how you're going to carry out this complaint or resolve this complaint? Anybody have any? Do you have a practice that how you carry out a complaint when it comes to you? How about if a patron comes to you and complains about a teacher? What's your first response? I've sort of had the policy to resolve problems at the lowest level. I don't know if that's the right term or not. If a parent has an issue, and sometimes you got to know your parents, send them to the teacher. Now, when do you do that and when don't you do that? Okay. They need to be informed of what's going on. You very often have children coming home with a complaint that's lopsided. You all understand that. When your child comes home to school with a problem, you might as well divide it in half to start with. That's just automatic. So you encourage the parents to visit school. Anything else?
Important enough that you came to me,
Not always, yeah. Yeah.
They're very precious, and naturally we tend to see things from our child's side. I think it's important to encourage a teacher-parent relationship to work those things out, but I think we as a board need to be willing to help or to be involved, because if there's strained relations, sometimes that's not easily fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you need to mediate in that. And if you can mediate that between the parent and the teacher, you've gained a lot. And then the next level is, okay, mediate between, have the administrator step in. And these are different levels of authority. You have the teacher, you have the administrator, and you have the board. And my feeling is that when the teacher and the parent can agree, that's the spirit of the law. When you as a board step in, you're the law. Now, maybe you don't like that way, but many times the board is a policy setter. And we need to carry that out, and that's the law in my mind. And sometimes we have to. It's not the way we want to do it. But sometimes you have to. Remember, you are, as we said, the school is a group of parents collectively working together, and you need to set policy to make that happen. How do you, one brother here said about the head of the administrator sitting, and how many head of the administrator are sitting in their board meeting? Okay, that's we do that. We have somewhat a three-session board meeting. First part is we have all the teachers with the board members, and then we have another session with just the administrator, and then the third session is just the board. And we do not make any decisions as a board until all the teachers have left. We hear everybody out. We listen to, you know, whether it's curriculum, whether it's policy setting, whatever it is. We hear them all out, and then we try to make a decision. Okay, maybe this is along the same line we sort of discussed this. Be a buffer between patrons and teachers. How do you be a buffer between patrons and teachers? Actually, this brother was a board member. And his son, we had some struggles with some teachers back a number of years ago. And there were some problems. And this board member was very zealous, and rightfully so, in this problem. But his son was going to school and telling the teachers, my dad's going to straighten you up. And he's going home and telling his parents that the teachers were picking on him. Well, when I told this to the dad, what the boy was saying at school, he was disturbed. And I had to be the mediator there to inform both sides what was going on. And it brought a peace to the situation. When the dad realized what the boy was going to school was saying, and I told him, I said, you're not going to fix this problem at school yourself. And the parent of the boy was sensing that the dad was very upset with some of the things the teachers were doing. One of the things I struggled with as a board chairman, and some of this was probably because I say this carefully, there was a lack of of trust between our administrator and the board at one time. When issues came up, this administrator wanted me to work it out without informing the board. And this thing of never become a buffer between your teachers and the board. It's not a good place to be. Your board needs to be informed. Your board needs to be informed of what's going on. How do you inform your board? Now, Brother Lee, the moderator here, we're on the board together. He said there ought to be another qualification for ministry, that they all have email. I don't have email. The rest of my board members do. And I guess you could probably type out an email and send it to all your board members, and they'd all have the same information. I tend to, when something comes up, I get on my phone and start going down the list of board members. You have an issue that comes up, and you start explaining the issue. You go down through the list, and you talk to one board member, and he said, "Oh, but did you think about this?" "Well, no, I didn't." "Okay." So I called the second board member. "Now I have a little more extra piece of information to give to the second board member." And he said, "Well, did you think about this?" And each board member gets a little more information until you get the end one. You might have played whisper down the lane. And that's a challenge you need to think about when you're informing your board members, but they need to be informed. You do not want to be making this decision yourself. You want, there's security for you as chairman if you have the support of your board. You can't act on your own. You need the support of your board. And I raised that question earlier about when do you override your board. There's not much security in that. You really shouldn't do that. An informed board is security for you. An informed board is a security for you. And that's a number of years ago, whenever I was struggling with this idea of when these issues, when do you call your board? And I asked the board for a vice chairman to help me with these decisions. Well, then it almost got to the point where him and I were working out the problems and the rest of the board was not informed. So that was not necessarily a good move. It could be. I had good intentions. I had intentions of that being to better inform them. It almost worked the other way. What are your positions on your board? How do you carry that out? Anybody want to give us their opinions on, or their methods of doing that? Is the chairman?
We have the chairman and then we have the vice chairman. Basically, what he does is decides every meeting with the chairman, not there.
Okay.
I make the decision with him at all. And then I have the secretary and the treasurer. And the fifth member, what we call it, a floating member. We vote on that every year.
Okay. Okay, let's think a little bit then, and I think of this as they relate to one another. The roles of the board chairman and the roles of the administrator. How do you carry that out? I mean, where does the board chairman stop and the administrator start? Do you have anything spelled out? Do you know what your role is? Is anybody here serving as both? Okay. Is that a little tough job?
Not fun.
Not fun.
On your thought on emailing, that really works good as long as the older children don't get a hold of the email.
Okay. I didn't think about that. That's something. I didn't think about that. It's one thing that I wouldn't think of because I don't have it. Oh, yeah. That would be, yeah. I don't know if you can put a password on it or something like that.
You had to do something of that sort.
Yeah.
Another thing that can work well, my memory is so short that I almost refuse to call the various board members because I forget who knows what.
Yeah, I've done that before.
There are some pretty good options for free conference calls, and that can work well if you can't do a meeting.
Okay. Is that cell phone technology, or how do you do that? Or irregular?
If you have internet, it's easy to find, but if you don't, all you need to get a hold of is the phone number for the company that will sponsor the conference call. And then you call that number, and it's all automated. But from there, you call your own numbers, and I'm not sure what that name of the company is anymore.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants information, ask your brother back here. Back to this thing of the roles of the board chairman and administrator. I don't know if you ever find yourself in this position or not, whether you will or you're not, or don't. Sometimes I found, back a number of years ago, I found myself as board chairman trying to act as administrator, and I wasn't present. And again, it goes back to the situation where there was some distrust among the board between the administrator and the board, and the board wasn't all very comfortable with some of the things the administrator was carrying out. And so we as a board, I should say the board chairman and the vice chairman, and you can understand a little bit where that went. We're trying to work some things out with this administrator, and we just were not there. We did not know what was going on, and so there were things going on that we weren't aware of. You have to have defining roles. You know, the board chairman does this, and then you need to allow your administrator to take over. The board sets policy. The administrator needs to carry it out, and you need to see that he carries it out. You need to do a little bit like Jonah said, give him the 50 cents and let him decide what to buy with it. Or that's the way it works best. Anybody have any questions? I'll give you still the next couple of minutes. Do you have any questions you'd like as board chairman? Anything you would like to discuss? Okay.
One of the things that we can do to foster better relationships before we get into all these situations, and thinking not only amongst the board, the board and teachers and the parents, I know in our business,
okay. What for foresight can you see? Can you give to prevent some problems?
Good communication.
Good communication. Okay.
To allow at least 15 minutes to
Okay? Too often we make decisions, we react. We react to a situation rather than contemplating, praying about it, considering it. Okay? Okay.
Somebody listen. One of the things that I read recently was they won't care what you know until they know you care.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? Did that answer your question properly? All right, everybody. We'll get there. Back to this idea of roles. I've substituted for teacher a number of times. And when you go in there to substitute, you do not override your teacher. Your teacher is authority over you when you're in there substituting. You need to recognize that. You can get your eyes opened when you're substituting. But when it comes down to that, you might as well go in there and do what the teacher says. The children are watching you, whether you respect your teacher or whether they don't. You cannot tear your teacher down, or you will tear down the respect you will tear down the respect your children have for your teachers. Okay, anybody else? I type up a paper, and I look back over the minutes and try to decide anything that was not resolved. I go back to the minutes of a year ago, and we have certain things we do each month to make sure I pick up what we need to this particular month, and just try to type things up there. We have our board members. Each board member visits a faculty meeting every week. We go take turns. They have a faculty meeting every Tuesday, and so one board member goes each week, and so I put that on the agenda. Each board member takes a turn visiting a faculty meeting. And okay.
How soon do you give the agenda out to the other board members?
Well, we usually have a board meeting on Tuesday evening. I usually like to have it typed up by Thursday evening. Some of the board members, when I go down and pick up school children, I'll stick it in their mailbox at the church. A couple of them, or the other churches, I put in the mail, and the one I handed to them on Sunday morning, I go to church with him every morning. So I don't know if that's soon enough, but they usually try to have it, unless sometimes I slip up. Sometimes Saturday night comes before I realize what hit me, and it's not done. So. I try to type it up Thursday night and have it in the mail for the ones I'm mailing on Friday. And the mail does pretty good. One time I put it in a Friday. I thought maybe they were getting it on Monday when I put it in the mail. And I think it was over a holiday or something. Monday was a holiday. All of a sudden, them men aren't going to get their agenda. We had a special. It was in January here, and we had a meeting on Monday night instead of Tuesday because we changed it. And Monday was a holiday. I thought they didn't get their agenda. Well, they did. They had it on Saturday, so it worked out all right. Okay. Any other questions? I think we'll close at this time if nobody else has anything else. Thank you for your help. And I trust you go back to your boards inspired to lead out.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.